This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 15th, episode 1360. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us. Hey, I was going to start with talking about Dodge Ram truck recall buyback, but I'll get to that in a minute. You reminded me that I first have to acknowledge, one, that it's President's Day, so happy President's Day. I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, but happy President's Day anyway. But I did very well Valentine's this year, I will have you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and some of the auditors posted in there on Saturday, Glenn, and we just want to remind you it's Valentine's Day, like they were expecting me to forget. And we had an entire Valentine's weekend, I will have you know. And I did very well, didn't I, Jennifer?
Jennifer? You really stepped it up. You made up for all the Valentine's days that you forgot.
See? I did good.
How do you forget Valentine's Day?
I have never forgotten. I maybe have forgotten to buy something, but I've never really forgotten that it was Valentine's Day.
There is a difference. Yeah.
There is a difference. But she got a new keyboard, like playing keyboard, like piano keyboard. Because she's been wanting to get back into playing piano again. So I she's going to have a complete concert prepared for us for the next Radiothon in November.
Heck yeah, girl, get that.
We're going to have chopsticks.
Chopsticks,
piano,
yeah.
And I'll bring the guitar, and we'll play as poorly as we possibly can.
Jingle bells. You two can accomplish jingle bells in 8 months, I think. I think both of you can accomplish jingle bells.
That would require us to practice. We don't practice. Just perform.
So I did that. I got her a nice belt with some bits on it and stuff, a very classy belt, and had it customized with Beaker's name on it and a little plaque. So I did good this year.
Good job.
I'm just bragging for all you auditors who thought I was going to fall off the edge of the earth again and not do anything. So there.
Very good. Very good. I'm the opposite on Valentine's Day. I think that when you're dating, it's exciting. But now that I'm married, I'm like, hey, we have a budget and you're not spending money on
crap.
Are
you the party pooper or what?
I'm like anniversary, birthday, and Chad is on board. So I told him, you know, don't give me any flowers, anything like that. Like, just let's just hang out. Let's
Chad's on board because he gets a free pass. Of course he's on board.
Well, he brought me 6 pink roses and said they're for pink, you know, because they're the mayor. And he bought me half a dozen on Friday. And I was like, okay, that's okay. You didn't get red ones on Sunday. So that's probably better that you got half a dozen pink ones on a Friday. That's much more sensible. And we hung out on the farm yesterday, went for a trail ride. He's like, whatever you want to do today. And I'm like, I want to do laundry and I want to ride my horse. And we went out to a nice dinner last night. We had a babysitter. So that was pretty much what we did. And you know, you just have to smooch your horse. Jennifer, did you smooch your horse? I mean, I know you smooch a husband, blah, blah, blah. Did you smooch your horse?
I did.
Most important. I clipped horses.
He didn't get a hug, though. He does not like hugs. Smooch, yes. Hug, no.
Does he back up when you hug him?
Oh, the head goes up in the air. Oh, he just has a panic attack. Oh, my God!
It's a lion getting my jugular.
Yeah, Scooter doesn't like
man.
It either. Neither one of them like, they're not very touchy-feely types.
Thor just, I just melt into him and he just takes my hugs. But he's so fuzzy. And so, yes, that's also my Valentine's Day was I clipped him and I clipped Duke. Because Duke is old and really hot. It's 80 degrees every day. So he's getting a little overheated. So Thor and Duke, I clipped, and then I'm like, oh, okay, who wants a hug? I'm disgusting. I'm going to go shower.
We had a milestone yesterday. I told you we got a new little two-horse trailer, a new used little two-horse trailer with a ramp because the pony was not doing well with step up.
And oh, you did? You just changed it for the pony?
Yes, we had to because the pony was not participating in this. He would step up eventually, but he would not back off. You had to turn him around in the trailer.
Yeah.
And we thought, this is not going well. So we need to.
Well, that's hard for him. He's got tiny little legs. That's like a mile away.
Exactly. Wow. And he just was having total panic attacks. So we thought, well, we saw this little trailer along the road on the way back from Walmart, ironically, and it was a good price, so we bought it, and we're going to sell our other one. It'll probably be about even, actually. But we got it, and Jennifer has been working with the Monty method for the last 2 weeks, you know, bringing them up, backing them off, bringing them up a little further, backing them off. And yesterday was the first day we actually took them just on a ride around the neighborhood, you know, just to get them in and moving. And he walked on. She backed him off once, walked on. He walked on, and we shut the door, and he backed off. It was perfect.
Yay! Way to go. Good job, Jen.
But it's taken a couple of weeks of using Monty's method from the university there on how to do it, and it's worked. So that was good, and he likes the ramp much better. Backing off is not an issue now.
Good.
So
there you go.
He literally would start shaking and pawing, and then when he'd get off the trailer, he'd leap 10 feet into the air and land about 16 feet out. He just did not like it at all. So this poor is much better thing. For the poor little guy. And we didn't want every time he's gone away to be a trauma, you know? That's not good. So I think we did the right thing there.
And there's one thing that Beaker really, really loves about the new trailer exercises, because Beaker always gets to participate in trailer loading exercises, is he gets a little flake of alfalfa when he's standing there waiting for Scooter to get on and off 100,000 times. So after we took him for his ride around the neighborhood, Beaker wouldn't get out.
Yeah, he wouldn't leave the trailer.
Hold on his tail.
It's my alfalfa's in here. I'm not leaving.
Nope.
This is where they give Snickers bars in big giant containers.
Oh, and they never get alfalfa except when they're in the trailer. So he was not leaving. We could have left him there until it was done.
How funny.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we're going to catch up with our co-host's weekend further adventures. And then after that, we're going to get some horse shopping advice from the dancing Mustang trainer, Elisa Wallace. And the wacky world of Horse Nation puts the needle down on the laugh track for the week. So stay tuned to the Rainbow.
Thank you very much. Daily Winnie time. Come on, Daily Winnie. All right, my Daily Winnie goes out to three new auditors over the weekend. Woohoo! Jackie Mader, I think is how you say that. Carrie Whaley? Sorry, Carrie.
Just say it and own it.
And Marie Cornell. All three of them now signed up over the weekend. We really appreciate you and welcome you to the group. Jackie also posted on Friday's show. This was very funny. She posted on Friday's show. Now, Jackie is from Australia, okay? She says, hi, guys. Great podcast. Listening to it right now in Australia. So it's hard to listen live. Anyway, just a tad concerned for the lovely Jennifer. Glenn, you said that Jen was either in DNV or has DNV or something similar. Well, here in Ozland, DNV is diarrhea and vomiting. So really hoping Jen isn't sick. Pretty sure she isn't, as the fact that you were so excited to be Jen free. Jen missed your lovely voice, but Haley did good and stuff. So it went on like that way. I want to clarify, she was at the DMV in here in the United States. That means Department of Motor Vehicles, which is kind of like diarrhea and vomiting sometimes. So it can be the similar thing. But
sometimes it's preferable.
Yes. Sometimes you'd rather be diarrhea and vomiting. But yeah, so she made it through there alive and actually didn't have too bad an experience. So that's what DMV means.
I must interject here. I did not listen to the show on Friday.
Yes.
Now, what's this about you being so excited to be Jen free?
I was thinking that too. I was thinking that. I'm like, dude, you just did it to yourself. Like,
oops. You remember those nice Valentine's gifts I got you? How lovely they were.
It's because he was online shopping and he didn't want
to
see what he was doing.
That's
you could have walked in, tapped him on shoulders, surprised
him. Jamie, you have my back. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for
today.
That.
Today.
It's Daily Winnie time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I got the most exciting news. I got the most exciting news. Yay! Are you sitting down, Glenn? Are you sitting
yes,
down,
I'm
Jennifer?
Sitting.
Okay, okay, okay. Today's February 15th. That's not the news. February 20th. What day is February 20th? That is Saturday. On February 20th, there is a 99% chance that my sources are potentially correct in saying that Zyconic, Zenyatta's baby, Cosmic's brother, the second foal out of Zenyatta, is making his racing debut at Santa Anita in California, February 20th, on Saturday. Saturday, Zyconic takes to the track. Arr, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm done.
Are you good now? The other foal didn't do too well, did he?
John Sheriffs was asked how Zyconic differs from Cosmic One.
Yeah.
And while Cosmic One is still in training, he said Zyconic tends to be faster.
Well, that's good. Because Cosmic One didn't accomplish the whole speed
thing. That was not a direct quote, because John Sheriffs would never be that blunt. But let me read between the lines and tell you, everybody thinks Zyconic is a lot more... it just has more heart.
More into racing.
You know, it's the firstborn syndrome. It's like they just get babied and they get pampered and they just feel like, oh, I'm entitled. I don't have to work for anything. here I am. I'm going to breed mares, whether I run fast or not. And, you know, I don't think Zyconic's like that. He's like, I'm the redhead. I'm the second born. I'm going to have to come out and earn it. I'm hungry. Am I anthropomorphizing a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, a little
much?
Bit. A little bit. I really thought you were so excited because you're going to the Mustang auction this weekend. But
well, yeah, but we're going to talk about that with Elisa Wallace here in a couple minutes.
Oh,
I can't
cool.
just make it all about me. I mean, it needs to be
well,
about.
I'm going to make this about you. What year is your Dodge Ram truck?
I should know this. 2013? 2014? I don't think we have a 14. We're not that fancy. 2013.
Well, you better hope it's 2013 because it's a 3500, right?
Yes,
or
it's a Dodge
ton.
Ram 3500 dually because yep. my husband just couldn't stand letting people have bigger trucks than them. Yes, four-wheel drive.
Okay,
why?
So Fiat Chrysler has announced that they now are being required by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to buy back. Not recall, buy back a 500,000 Dodge Ram pickup trucks after some repairs that were performed as a result of recalls proved unsuccessful. And that's mainly the steering goes out and there have been 70 accidents because you can't steer your truck.
Oh, that's nice information right before I'm about to take a road trip.
So you want to check the year of your truck. So this is what it says for the 3500 4x4s. It's from 2008 to 2012, excuse me. So you're going to want to check that. Also included in this is the Chrysler Aspen, the Dodge Durango SUV, the Dodge Dakota, and other vehicles from Dodge. You're going to want to find out if yours, I know we have a lot of Dodge owners, especially Dodge Ram owners, so you're definitely going to want to check this. And the buyback, this is the largest amount, it's the largest ever recall, basically, in history. And it would, they said basically that what they're going to do is they're going to take the original price of the truck with depreciation, and that's what you're going to get toward a new vehicle.
I feel like I get things like that in the mail all the time that are like, we'll buy back your truck. And
yeah,
value,
yeah, you
but
do.
But you got to buy a new one.
Yeah, but this is actually because it's going to crash. So it's something to definitely take
a
look
scam.
At.
It's a scam.
Yeah, no, this is a big one. So 500,000 trucks.
And so you have to buy a new truck.
Basically, you have to buy a new truck, yes.
And they're like a million. Well, the reason I have such a nice truck now is that I was in a hailstorm in Texas, which is why we got it so affordable, because it has hail
How
damage.
How do they fix the hailstorm damage anyway?
They'd sell it as hail damaged.
So they really don't fix it. You have a little pot marks all over the top of your truck.
Yeah, it's not too bad. You can kind of look at it, see it in the right light. But you know what? I've never been one for, you know, aesthetics.
It's a golf ball look. It makes it more aerodynamic.
That's right.
Well, you know, exactly that. And I feel like it takes the pressure off of me when it's already dented.
That's true. Yeah, like, so you can do whatever you want to it now.
Whatever.
Matter of fact, not washing it's better because then you don't see the dents.
There are a couple other dents in it as well, which is why it was so cheap. So not so cheap, but much more affordable than getting a new one. So I can't imagine having to get a new one. Please, God, let me let it be at least 2013.
Well, I would check on that if you own a Dodge Ram truck. They're also fining the company $105 million for screwing this up. There have been 23 recalls total.
And who gets that money?
the government.
So that should be spent.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That should be go to you guys to help buy your new truck. Because you know they're going to give you $10,000 and you're going to have to spend $50,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's exactly what they'll do. That's BS.
Anyway, there's my good news for the Monday. Happy Yay. Monday, everybody.
Thanks. That was wonderful. Hey, I got some more good news for you.
Yeah.
You live in Florida. Do you know where Okeechobee County is?
Okeechobee. It's probably near there's an Okeechobee, Florida.
Okay, well.
That's probably down there.
Where is that down, like by the swamps?
I would assume so, yes. No, Okeechobee, I don't know where it is. I thought Okeechobee was up by Georgia, but I'm not sure.
Why don't you Google map that while I'm telling you the story?
Yeah, first I'd have to know how to spell it.
Okeechobee. How is that hard? So a horse in Okeechobee County, Florida has tested positive for EIA, which is like the worst disease that is possible. EIA is equine infectious anemia, and that is why you get a Coggins test.
Oh.
A Coggins test is to test for EIA, and it's not a Coggins disease, it's Coggins test to test for equine infectious anemia. The guy that created the test, his last name was Coggins, so hence Coggins test.
I did not know that. Look at you, full of information this morning.
So anyway, they have done a quarantine, and they're trying to trace how it got, because it's basically a fly can bite one horse and then bite the next horse and then bite the next horse and then they all get EIA. It's super contagious, but so they have to and what they've said is like basically you have to put the horse to sleep if it has EIA. You can keep it alive. It will attack the immune system. It's a virus, but you can keep the horse like 200 yards from other horses, which is just impossible. So most people have to put the horse down. Very sad, but it's the first in the state of Florida for the entire year of 2016, all 2.5 months of it. So guys, get your horses tested.
Okeechobee's down way below Orlando on the way to Wellington, actually. And it's right by Okeechobee Lake. So there you go.
Yeah,
right in the middle of the state, and there's not a lot around there.
All right, well. They've got their first case. So
well, speaking of diseases, we really haven't talked about it at all, but that racetrack in New Mexico.
Oh, so sad.
Ugh, this is getting out of control now. The number of horses who have contracted equine herpes, or EHV1, in New Mexico's Sunland Park racetrack now stands at 66. They have had to put 6 of them down, and you know they just have quarantined the entire place. 11 of the 20 barns affected by the outbreak have been returned to what is deemed non-exposed status, which I assume means they cleaned them. But a quarantine perimeter remains in place around Sunland Racetrack and adjoining training centers. So yeah, and
now,
I know,
can they come out of EHV?
Well, like, only 6 have been put down at this point. Jennifer would know more about this. Jennifer?
Yes, they can.
Glenn, in the neurologic form, when the onset occurs, can they actually
I thought it was really weird that you were asking me.
Paralysis and use their hind limb better, or is it just continued recumbency? Glenn, go.
They can recover. The initial health of the horse obviously has an effect. A horse that is healthier is more likely to recover. A horse that is younger is more likely to recover. And a horse that has been vaccinated for EHV, even though it's not the neurological form, is more likely to recover.
Interesting. Man, that's
the likelihood of recovering to their original athletic status like a racehorse, not all that great.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking. That's terrible.
I had a horse once that had EHD.
Oh, yeah?
I got to learn about it. She, before I got her, she had it, and the farm where she lived had an outbreak, and she was one of the horses that got the neurological form. And she was she did not return to her original athletic prowess. Therefore, I was able to afford her.
Oh, gotcha. Well, what's funny is, I guess it's not funny, is the reason I know so much about EIA, equine infectious anemia, is that a horse in my barn came down with it. And we were all, it was terrible. We were under quarantine for months. It was the start of the show season, and I was a teenager. And it was in the horse. It's one of those barns where the indoor is in the middle of the barn, and then there's an inside and an outside aisles. So my horse was on the inside near the end, and the horse directly in the stall behind him became positive with it. And we had to retest every horse's blood in the entire barn. I think the next day, and then 10 days later, and then 10 days after that, and every one of them, you're waiting on a phone call that your horse is going to have to be put down. It's tremendously awful. And they destroyed the horse that had it almost immediately. I mean, we're in the city of Atlanta. Where else are you going to take it? So it was pretty sad. So that is the reason I know so much about it, too. And it's just terrible that we sometimes the best way to learn is to be involved. Hey, there's no barking in here. sorry, that's my dog. I'm dog sitting. Abby, stop it.
That's funny.
Good morning, Abby.
I know that Turf Paradise was quarantined too.
Was it?
For a while. That was the one we went with you out there in Phoenix. And they were quarantined for a while, but I don't know what the situation is there. But yeah, this is 66. That's the most I ever remember at one track for that happening.
Yeah.
Do you have anything positive for us this morning?
Well, it's kind of positive, and I'm going to do it in my best British accent, okay? Because I don't know what half the words in this mean, so I'm going to need your help.
Okay. I'll translate British for you.
Okay, translate for me. A drunk man takes a horse on a nighttime visit to a chip shop in Manchester. God, I sound terrible. I'm not doing that anymore. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry, Victoria. All our British.
Victoria's never coming on again after that.
Like a cockney. Oh, to a chip shop in Manchester. Okay, so what's a chip shop?
That's fish and chips. That's like French fries.
No. A chip shop. Isn't that a bar?
Well, I always thought fish and chips are like French fries.
I'm Jennifer. Google chip shop and tell me what it is.
Okay, so far we don't know anything about the Australians apparently, and fish and chip shop. Yeah, it's an outlet that mainly sells fish and chips.
It's Long John Silver's in the UK.
Yeah, there you go. Except they have a lot of them. They actually serve real fish. So that's the other, it's the big difference.
All right. Well, a man who decided to take a Shetland pony, this is in Manchester, which is a big city. A man decided to take a Shetland pony on a stroll to a chip shop in Manchester. They've now become internet stars. They should have been arrested. Greater Manchester Police announced on its Facebook page. Seriously, why are cops using Facebook pages?
Oh, they do. They announce all this stuff now on their Facebook pages. I think it's a point of pride.
Oh, my gosh. So
every police department has them now, and they always put the pictures of the drunk people and stuff. Yeah.
I wonder if my little town of Waldale has a...
you should look. See if Chad's on there.
See if we've been casing our house. Greater Manchester Police announced on Facebook it had received several reports of a drunk man with a horse outside of a chippy in Wythenshaw. The horse was then later seen. They didn't stop at the chippy. They didn't just stop there. It was later seen at a car park, which is a parking lot, right?
Yeah,
car park. I would think so. In Southmore Industrial Estates. Then they were seen outside of Wythenshaw Hospital, where people reported seeing the horse eating the plants. The post has been shared more than 600 times on Facebook. People were taking pictures with this horse, like outside of the hospital.
With the drunk guy?
Outside of the chip shop. No, just with the horse, because it was like tied up while he was inside. And Louisa McKay said, I saw the horse outside Tesco around 1 a.m. last night, and the horse is only about 2 years old.
Tesco, I think, is their big grocery store.
It's a grocery store. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So, some drunk guy just
went. Well, you get hungry, you need munchies when you're drunk.
I love this one. Liam Kerwin posted an image of the horse while Claire Bear added, the man and the horse were outside Button Lane shops last night, and the man was cracking on with a young teenage female and then putting them on the horse.
That's one way to flirt.
Hey, yo, hop on my yearling, my two-year-old.
Hop on. What could go wrong?
The police later added to their Facebook page, of course. Why would you do any other way? For those of you asking why we left the man with the horse, the officer attended and believed the man was fine. He wasn't riding the horse and was in full control of the horse. So I guess Manchester, you're just allowed to like take your horse for a walk.
Drunk. I guess it's not illegal to take your horse for a walk drunk.
And hit on chicks.
But we could use this.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Ain't that just saying. Truth.
Although he might have gotten one of the chicks, and then maybe he wasn't. So who knows?
This news story was not man attracts teenage girl with said pony. I mean, we don't know how old he was. So
hey, you want to hear a harrowing story?
Ooh,
this is out of Tennessee in Robertson County. And the title of the article is Horse Trailer Flips on I-65. Now, we've seen a lot of these that don't end well, right? And it just says, despite multiple weather-related accidents in Robertson County last night, no serious injuries have been reported. Traffic on I-65 South was snarled Sunday night when authorities received calls of a horse trailer with a horse inside rolling over. A semi-trailer rolling over and another semi-trailer jackknifing, each within 30 minutes of each other at 6:30 p.m. Traffic, they said it was tied up for miles. But the horse trailer flipped near the 111-mile marker, but the horse was not injured in the accident. And here's the description from the person. It was a big, old, long-legged thoroughbred horse the lady picked up in Kentucky. We got another horse trailer out there, and they offloaded him. He looked fine, and he was in good spirits. They loaded him and took him away.
So say he was in high spirits. Like, just was in a flipped over in a car crash. Good God.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy. But
how many horses get flipped over in a trailer and walk away?
Yeah.
There's a horse who's had, and do you think that horse wanted to get in the other trailer? Do you really think he really wanted to get in the trailer again?
Who knows? Maybe he's like, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah, that could
Anything's
be.
Anything's better than here.
I love how they described it as a long legged thoroughbred horse.
Oh, some long legged thoroughbred horse lady picked up in Kentucky.
Wow, that was a story. I was not expecting a happy ending to that. The only reason I reported it is apparently there was a happy ending. So
I love the last sentence. Forecasters are calling for another couple hours of wintry mix. And according to Douglas, who said drivers need to take it slow. Them ditches are about full. He said.
You know, we were coming back through North Carolina when we had our big farm years ago. They had a big blizzard in Pennsylvania, and it was a huge ice storm in North Carolina. We're driving back from Florida on I-95, and we actually pulled over. We said, when we count the 20th car that goes into the trees, because the road was just solid ice, and these were pickup trucks usually with four-wheel drive that were going into the trees because those idiots were driving too fast. They think it helps on ice. And we counted our 20th car, and we got off that exit, and we were at that hotel for 4 days till we could get back on the road again. But yeah, it was the 20th car that went off, and we were just counting them going off the road. So
yeah. I have those videos of the cameras that are on top of the buildings, and you see just the car after car just sliding down the street, sliding. It's like bumper cars at the end. Oh, terrible. Don't live where it's cold. Let me just help you out.
That Pennsylvania last week, too, in a big storm, they had a huge pile up that a bunch of people died. It was bad. That was a whiteout. It wasn't even a snowstorm. It was just a whiteout. I've been on those. I bet we were on that road that this happened in a whiteout, but nobody could see it. It was completely blinded. And, you know, you wouldn't think that could happen. It's not snowing. And then all of a sudden, you just can't see anything. And that's what happened. 50-car pileup because nobody could see anything. It just waited out. Well, Jennifer's going to get Lisa on the phone.
I can do one
here.
More news story for you. I was saving this one just in case.
Well, save it for after, Elisa. We'll do the commercial, and then we'll go right to Elisa.
Yeah, then I won't do it. It's the time has passed.
Oh.
It's kind of weird. Okay. I'll save it. I'll tell you later.
Oh, now I want to know. Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And we finally get to catch up with our dear friend, Elisa Wallace. Elisa, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
A little cold, but well.
Are you, what's the temperature? I mean, you're in North Georgia, so what's the temperature up there right now?
North-ish. Well, right now, it's a nice warm, 30 degrees outside.
Lovely, beautiful. Nothing like breaking ice buckets in the morning.
I'm lucky as the fact that my barn doesn't freeze, but all my outside waters do. So I'm a little spoiled that way.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Well, what I think the last time we talked to you is, it's been a little while, so I want to catch up with you a little bit. What are you working on now? I mean, you've got your, tell us about your vlogs right now.
So I have been working on these vlogs and, thankfully from my husband pushing me to do them, it's been pretty fun, to document kind of the progress of some of the horses I've been making. And I have a couple of new Mustangs, that I've added. One was a problem child who, his name was Sparks. It's probably the most difficult Mustang I've had to work with, just as far as his, I don't know, he's got issues, but
really, but so because I've seen some videos posted and it doesn't look too terribly bad, but what are some of the issues that you're having with him?
Yeah, so he, he's not an aggressive horse, but there's no biting, kicking, striking, or anything like that. His biggest issue is fear. And how he reacts when he is in that fear state. So his thing was, he's just going to run. It didn't matter what was on the end of the lead rope or who was telling him. So he was really bad about bolting, and he would bolt from the ground, and he would also bolt when you would get on him. So it's definitely been a process of building up his confidence and his trust level, and making sure also that there's no physical underlying issues that I'm missing, and to make sure that he can handle the being ridden, because he's a very nice athletic horse, but he is definitely taking a lot of time, which is fine to come around. But again, like I said, I want to make sure I'm not missing it, because sometimes horses, they have underlying issues, especially when there's harder behavioral problems that you can't quite fix quickly. And, of course, they can't necessarily talk to us and tell us, so we have to try to figure it out. But so far, currently I'm treating him for ulcers, and that's always a big one, a big go-to thing with a lot of the Mustangs, just because of the stress levels that they go through. And he's a pretty flinchy, touchy horse, and so it's pretty indicative of doing the Ultramed. So he used one, and then I received a new Mustang for to train for a client, which he was a Kyger Aussie. He's a client, Kyger from the HMA and Oregon, and he is a 9-year-old who was documented out there and had his own band and all that stuff. But they had to, of course, control the numbers of the horses, and you know, so he's a challenge, though, especially the horses who have lived out there for years on the range. But he's been, you know, when you would think of a 9-year-old who is recently gelded in December, stallion who had his own band, you'd think of this wild, teeth bearing, striking, kicking, and he snorts really loud. He likes to make his presence known. But, and his biggest issues again are fear-based. He just wants to run away, but he has been very gentle, and, it's been fun kind of, you know, ticking away at them and kind of, peeling the layers back. And that's the thing with those Mustangs, is that they teach you, you know, they always teach you something, and I've had some good teachers in my past, so it's really fun to see how with the more difficult horses, how much further I've come along from where I was before.
Do you get more nervous working with when you say documented, that means that this horse was one of the ones that they were tracking and they knew of his band and his group of mares, and they knew he was the lead stallion, right? So that's what documented is, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a dedicated, his name is Lee Williams, and he goes out there and he loves the Kygers, and he documents them with pictures and video.
They're unique and beautiful Mustangs. They're all interesting colors, and they're very much the kind of more muscly, kind of bigger kind. You can see that. I think even at the Kentucky Horse Park in the Breeds Barn, they even celebrate the Kygers a little bit. So
yeah, they definitely have more, they're touted as this related DNA with the Spanish, that they go back to the Spanish horses. So I don't know.
Do you get really more nervous? Fun. Is it more nerve-wracking working with one that was a big kind of older stallion, or do you just kind of treat them all the same?
Not really. Honestly, the most dangerous Mustangs are the ones that have been messed up by humans. So, you know, when you're dealing with a wild one, like Ozzy was, I mean, yeah, he was pretty flighty. But I mean, every horse, every Mustang I've ever worked with, you have to always be on your toes, and you can never take anything for granted. So there are definitely moments where your adrenaline gets up, especially in the beginning when you kind of do your first touches. And when I had my other horse, Fianto, and it was the same, you go to touch them and there's this like electricity that you feel from them, and it's like, oh, okay I need to breathe, so I'm calm so they can feel it, I'm calm, you know, because you want to kind of transfer your energy. But it definitely gets your heart rate going, and you know, the first moments of when you're able to get on their back, and it's the same feeling of when you go into that cross-country box. So I think that's why the Mustangs and like eventing work so well with me, is because it's the same kind of excitement and that, like I said, it gets your heart rate up. But you know, like this morning, it was huge for he walked towards me when I went to go feed him. That was huge.
That's a big day. I mean, gosh, isn't it amazing? The little things. I'd never worked with wild, with untouched wild Mustangs until I went to Monty Roberts this summer. And I was noticing just what he was telling me some of my mistakes were. I watched you, and you go to, like, if you have an itch on your nose, you can't scratch it, because just the motion of scratching your nose sends the horse away. And I kept trying to figure out this, and he was like, don't scratch your nose. I was
like, what? Too much pressure.
I know. Just that, even that hand going up to your face just kind of sends them. So I'm enjoying your video blogs, and definitely keep it up. And I'm glad Timothy has encouraged you to do them, because we're kind of getting to see a little bit about how you do what you do. Now, what do you look for in a Mustang when you are going to pick one for yourself?
So, you know, height is nice to have in a Mustang. You know, sometimes there is a stigma that Mustangs are only 14 hands, but that's not the case. You know, I think they average around 15, but mm-hmm. there are larger ones. You know, you want to look for a horse that has a nice neck set, so that they're uphill. And with the Mustangs, some can tend to have a shorter neck. Like a Wynn has a shorter neck, but that doesn't deter her. You know, she was randomly picked for me, so I wasn't able to pick her. But you want to look for that low stifle. And then where the elbow meets, you kind of, in relation with the elbow and then the stifle, you want those to kind of be equal, or the stifle to be a little lower. That means that you'll have a pretty powerful jumper. Of course, the biggest flaw I try to stay away from is behind the knee in the front legs. Any type of toeing out or toeing in, yeah, a little bit of that is okay, but, you also want to look for, you know, sometimes with the Mustangs, they're in holding and, you know, they get trimmed like once a year. So hooves can be an issue. Some have club feet. Most oftentimes though, they're pretty decent and it takes a couple of trimmings and you're able to fix the imbalances that happen. I'm trying to think, you know, a strong hind end, but the biggest thing that I find that I look for is to have one that's a little bit longer leg, uphill, and as far as like their mindset, sometimes in holding when they're still fresh and wild, you may see one, and this is the fun thing about going to a pickup, you'll see horses that are just crashing into panels and they're super scared, and you know, it's a high stress situation for them. And like when I got Ozzy, he was pretty tough in the trailer and kind of would push his head around and slam around the trailer. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this one is going to be I got called him Hammerhead a couple of days. but you know, when they come around, and it's really interesting to see how those horses start to change. And yeah, I've had the range of like Rune. When I got him, he just walked right up and was like nibbling on my clipboard. And then you've got ones that kind of hide in the corner and shake, but they come around and can be the sweetest, most confident horses you can imagine. So that is the tough part with the Mustangs, is there is a little bit of risk involved, because it's not like you can necessarily, like if you go to pick out a track horse, you can go to the track, you can see how it trots, you can watch it gallop, you can watch it kind of behave.
You can watch a Mustang crash into panels. That's what you
right,
get
you're
to
lucky
see.
If you go, you're lucky if you can see them trot a little bit sometimes. But for me, that's kind of the fun part of the gamble, and really kind of looking for a horse and kind of going on your gut type of instinct. But, the BLM is doing better, as far as trying to help out these horses get a little bit, and helping the public gain more access. So they're doing more videos of the horses online where you're able to see them move around. For a couple of the holding areas, which is great. And a lot of that is just volunteer work. And so a lot of the volunteers really help us by going out and taking pictures. And but it's a little bit different scenario, but it's also, to me, it's pretty exciting. And
yeah.
And
well, now the reason that I wanted to have you on is because you know that I am going to get another Mustang this week. I'm going to be heading to Carson City, back to the same place I got Thor. These are prison trained Mustangs. They've had 90 to 120 days of training with an inmate who may or may not be the most spectacular horseman. So they come to you rideable, but they're still incredibly green because they've only really been ridden in the little jail arena and stuff. So you get to see them. It's a very big help, like you said. But I thought I had some favorites picked, and all of our listeners have been amazing trying to help me pick favorites.
You've had like hundreds of people trying to help you here.
Like hundreds. I get a slew of emails from Alisa this weekend, and she changed everything. She changed everything.
So we were all wrong, Alisa. We just don't know what the hell we're talking about, do we?
I was like, she was like, well, the only problem with Gunner is he's back at the knee. And I was like, is he?
It was
and
the
I
front right, sorry.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I go to look for.
I zoom in, I'm like, son of a bitch, she's right. And then she looks at the black one named Johnny Cash. She's
oh, that's like, the yeah. one I liked. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's gated. She's like, he's gated. And then they post a video and I'm like, oh my God, she's right. Like,
great for a trail horse, not so good for dressage.
Not so
yeah,
good.
That can be the tricky part with them sometimes.
Yeah, trail horse would be great, but yeah.
So, and, you know, the Johnny Cash horse, he caught my eye in the pictures for sure. I was like, oh, that's nice looking black horse. It's got a nice cute neck set, you know. And then I was like, uh-oh. That won't work.
They kind of don't get over the whole gated thing either. No,
I mean, you have to, if you see that horse is gated, then you need to move on. Because then for what
somebody else wants to do.
Yeah, some serious trail rider will pick him up in a minute.
Yeah, there's people that look for gated Mustangs. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, great for hacking out in the mountains.
And then I'm like, Chad and I've been looking at the video of this little horse, Gypsy. Oh my gosh, he's so cute. Elisa's like, toes in on the right. I'm like, son of a bitch.
You are a picky woman, Elisa.
It was a little, just in the video, he might turn in just a little bit, which, you know, is not.
Were you this picky when you were picking out Timothy, by the way?
Absolutely.
Yup.
There is criteria that needs to be met.
God, I love her. I just love her. And I did the first email I get from Alisa Glenn is all it says is potato chips. Potato chips. She did tell me that Mustangs are like potato chips and you can't have just one.
Nope. That's right.
She did say that.
Know.
Yeah, I remember that.
I have.
So who did Alisa pick? And by the way, where's that list? Where can I find that list again?
Okay. If you go, let me just share it right now on our Horses in the Morning page, because okay, I want Alisa to look through these again and just tell me what to do. Like, I thought I had it all figured out and I don't.
I told you which ones I liked.
Well, hold on. We're going to go over that again because everybody needs to hear your rhyme and your reason and why. And I didn't get all the whys. I just posted the list on our Horses in the Morning.
I'm going to go check it out while Lisa's talking here.
So here's all the Mustangs. So I started out, I was like, Gunner is my man, because there's a strategy that you have to do when you're going to this, because Gunner's going to get auctioned off first. And I have a budget. I just can't like spend $3,000 on a freaking Greenbroke Mustang. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, you have to kind of, these guys get auctioned off in the order that they are in this catalog. And so if you get the first one, then you can relax and enjoy the rest of it. If you wait for the last one, you might get outbid if you're bidden to the horses at the end.
Or you might go really cheap. It all depends.
Or they go really cheap. And you settled for one earlier on that you probably would have paid the money, you know. So it's super stressful. So I don't know.
I think it's harder if your horse goes earlier on than if, I don't know. I know I've been in the same situation. I completely understand.
This is super stressful. I don't, like, Alisa, I'll tell you, I get in the car on Thursday and I start driving and I get to Carson City on Friday night. And then I'm telling you, the last time will be just like this time. I don't think I slept the entire time that I was there, because I would just wake up going, oh God, what should I do? Who am I going to get? And what if I come home with an empty trailer? That'd be like the worst thing ever.
But you have to be okay with that though.
Yeah, you're right, Alisa. Anytime you go to an auction, you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Of anything. I don't care what you're buying. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't just need to buy something just because you want to put it on the trailer. That is that can be a mistake.
Thank you, Alisa. Say that again.
I know, because I've done it before.
I'm writing these things down. Okay, my mantras are going to be okay with an empty trailer. Okay, that's number one.
Yeah,
all right,
be okay with that. If, you know, it's not, you don't need to the thing about them is you don't need to settle for it. There's thousands of Mustangs out there. There's 50,000 of them in holding. So there's going to be something out there. And, you know, oftentimes in these auction type situations, there is that pressure you put on yourself. So you just have to keep that in mind. It's very difficult to do, and it takes a lot of self-control.
Yeah, but coming home with an empty trailer is better than being stuck with something that you wish you'd never done for the next 2 years.
But you have to, or 10 years. And I tried to explain this to Elisa. I am not looking for my personal dream Mustang. I have Thor out there, and I have too much damn fun with that horse. Oh, my God. Most fun horse ever. What I'm looking for is something that I can take, and by this time next year, it's comfortably running beginner novice or doing a 2600 jumper course, and I can sell it to a kid who's going to show it and continue to go out and promote the fact that these Mustangs can do anything. So that's kind of my goal with this. So I had her pick out her favorites, and I did ask.
Okay, Glenn, did you hear that is the goal?
Yeah, I did hear
more
that.
More than likely, I don't.
I did hear that. Okay. But did you also hear in her voice that she's coming home with a horse regardless this weekend and not listening to either one of us? Did you also hear that?
You know what? My trailer actually fits two. So you guys.
Oh, God. I know. I've done that, too. Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the horses. So if I'm going to pick a second.
Well, I have a question for Elisa first. Yeah. And she answered this for me, but I wanted you guys to hear it. Do you have a preference between a facility-born Mustang, which means they captured the pregnant mama, versus a horse that was a wild-born?
You're asking me that right now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't. I mean, my feeling is it's a lot more fun if you know the HMA where the horse came from and you can, like, look at the characteristics to kind of get a little bit, you know, everybody wants to find that history on that horse. And sometimes with the facility-born horses, you don't necessarily. But contrary to that, you can actually get some history if they've done a job. Sometimes they have pictures of the mother and they know where the herd the mother came from. And so just because it's a facility born, that doesn't really bother me. I mean, the babies still play. They're still in a little bit of a herd dynamic. It's not exactly the same as the wild, but they're still, to me, wild horses. So sometimes those horses are a little bit easier to come around. And my thing, you know, as far as with the horses that you're picking, the hard part was already done. Where you're dealing with the facility-born horses, the hard part, or with any wild horse, is in the beginning, the gentling process. And I think some people kind of come up, oh, well, they can be a little bit more clumsy, or, okay, well, some of my wild ones that lived out there are clumsy, you know. So, but then I have Wynn, who was captured as, like, a six-month-old, and sat in the pens for, 4 or 5 years, and now, hopefully, fingers crossed, she's running her first prelim next weekend, you know? So it's all, to me, it's just all about the history, and, you know, it's kind of fun to find that herd, and if you know certain horses are pretty good from a herd, that gives you an idea. But if you're looking at the horse in front of you, and you like the horse, it's built how you like it, it moves nice, it seems to have a good head on it, then it shouldn't matter where it was born.
See, she threw that whole thing for a loop. I was like, I have to have one wild born. These are my standards. And she's like, yeah, no. First of all, you can't have that horse. It doesn't matter. But this one, I think you should take this one and this one and this one. So Elisa has made a couple suggestions for me. Should we keep it a secret or do you want to tell everybody who
you can't keep it a secret. I'm looking at the list right now and I want to see if I'm right. So I have now picked out an alternate seeing she screwed up my first pick. So, all right, go ahead, Elisa.
We revisit. My husband and I have been going crazy all weekend. I'm like, Elisa just screwed everything up for me.
Sorry.
In the best way.
But she, trying to be helpful.
She did it without sending you a bill, so feel fortunate.
Right?
Yeah. Putting everything in perspective, Elisa.
Your help,
I'm trying. Hey, I also do a show with her husband, so, you know.
I know you do.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Elisa, I'm ready.
Okay, well, my first pick is O'Malley. Now, the only problem with O'Malley is that he's like a flashy colored horse. It'd be great if he was brown.
He's also got a strange coloring on his face, which never does well in a dressage ring.
That's not true.
Oh.
That's not true.
I look at this one and I go, oh, that's a weird coloring on his face. That's the first thing I think.
He has a wide blaze.
So wide. What he is, for those who, he's a six-year-old gelding. He's 15 two hands. He was born in the facility in Fallon, Nevada. Now, why do you pick him and what are your, why do you think that he's too flashy? Because he'll go for too much money.
Oh, he's flashy. He's, well, he's got the flaxen mane and tail. He's got the nice big blaze. But again, in an auction type situation, you just never know with people. Yeah. When I watched the video of him, he, and just looking at the picture, he was one who caught my eye because of how he was a bit uphill. When I watched him in the video, he seemed pretty, you know, he was doing what he was asked, and he was a cute mover. He moved straight. He had a nice canter, and he was just seemed like a really, like he was really adorable. Like I was like, oh, that one's so cute. Like could totally see like a little kid be bopping around on it. And I mean, he's a nice size. They say he's 15'2". And that can sometimes that can drive the price up if there's a decent size. And I mean, he's kind of a colored horse because he's got some chrome on him. But that to me, that would be the only thing that might drive his price up is because he is a little bit flashier colored than just a plain brown wrapper horse.
Right.
But I still like that would be my top pick because of he moved nice and straight. He had a good canter. You know, it wasn't lateral. It wasn't his trot. He was sound. That's important. There were a couple that might have been questionable.
Yeah, I know. I had my vet look at all the videos too. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, he just seemed like he had a good head on his shoulders and. And I'm John. I like chestnut horses with some flashy. I like different colored horses, you know. And if you want an ambassador, it's great when people come up and be like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that mark on their neck? Oh, my gosh, it's a different colored horse. It's so cool. Da-da-da-da-da. So it's kind of good as an ambassador to have maybe a little bit of a flashier horse. But then your brown ones are okay, too. So, I mean, like, I have Arlequin who has the white spots on his eyes and his muzzle, and so he's going to his first show, so I'm interested to see how many comments
cool.
he gets.
Oh, yeah. He'll stand out like crazy, and then they'll go, oh, but it's a Lisa. It must be a Mustang. That's
see,
true.
I have people ask me if, like, some of the warm bloods I'm riding is a Mustang. I'm like, no, but thanks.
It's not an insult, it's a compliment. That's great.
Hey ladies, we are running out of time, so
okay,
what,
second pick. Yep. What's your next pick before we let you go?
The second pick was McFly, who reminded me of Thor, kind of
very much like,
right. And so I was like, okay, but and he was actually another one who, again, if you look at him, he's built a little bit more uphill, has a nice length of neck, and he's leggier. He seems was he 6 years old as well?
He's five. He's 15'3", and he's 5 years old. He is an exact replica of Thor. Oh, my gosh. Exactly.
I think he's a little bit lighter than Thor, maybe.
Yeah, he looks... Yeah. Well, then Thor filled out, too, after
frame.
You got him. So,
yeah. Yeah, I can see that. He's a little bit lighter, so maybe he'll jump a little better than Thor.
He's big, though, 15'3", so...
Yeah, and then... When the other thing I was looking for, because you know you did say that stuff about Thor, how he's a little bit slower off the ground, looking for ones that might be a little quicker footed about certain things. So again, that's why I liked the O'Malley. He seemed to be a little quicker. And then the McFly horse was a really nice, solid horse. He moved good. He had a good canter, and seemed built all the way around. So those were my top two, really. Like if I was to go, those would be the ones I would go for.
All right.
And then you also mentioned the Gypsy horse, which when I went back and I looked at him, he was cute. One thing that turned me off about him was he was a bit of a brat in the beginning about going through the gate. So he had a little bit of a pony attitude. Was he from a herd? I don't remember.
Yeah, he's from De Sequoia, Nevada, was his okay. herd management. He's 14.3, five-year-old gelding, wild-born. So, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to spitball. And Alisa, as always, it's just been amazing having you on, telling us about all of this. We appreciate it. We've got our next guest on the line. Or I'll call you later. I'll finish the rest of my questions.
Okay.
Thanks again. Hey, Alisa, thanks for always too. Being such a big help. You guys don't realize I called Alisa like 10 times on my way to Carson City last year. I can't imagine. Keep your phone near you, girl.
All right, will do.
What's your website, Alisa, before you go?
www.wallaceeventing.com.
And I want to thank you for letting me borrow your husband once a month. I'm shocked that you're actually still coming on the show. Have you listened to any of the Horse Husband episodes?
No.
Oh, that's good. No. You're better off that way.
Don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it. It's okay. We're not saying...
He informs me. It's fine. I stay in the loop a little bit.
He's a good guy. I enjoy doing the shows with him. So it's been fun.
Absolutely.
And if you're a horse husband out there, go to horsehubby.com. That's where her husband hangs out. So
yep, got to plug the hubby.
That's right.
And there's t-shirts now.
I bought one. I can't wait for it to come in. I love the new logo.
Fabulous.
So there's a new logo awesome. For Horse Hubbies out there, and you can check that out on my page, Glenda Geek. You'll see it on there, and there's t-shirts available, so go buy one. Well, thank you, Alisa.
Thanks, Alisa.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, see you.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
She makes me nervous. I'm a nervous wreck now.
You know, I do think that the flashy one, even though I don't like his face, but I don't like the white faces like that, that one's going to go high.
I know. Because everyone I like, I'm like, I can figure out a
your Western riders are going to like that look.
Well, let me just tell you guys something. I guarantee to you, I'm the only English rider that goes to this.
I bet you are in Nevada.
I am the only one not in cowboy boots and a cowboy hat of either sex. I mean, seriously, like there's some rugged ass Carson City cowboys that come to this thing and everybody's
that
looking for a
chrome is going to look really good to them. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. We have to go quick. We got our next guest going to be hanging on the line here. But first, we are going to hear from Equestrian Collections. And then I have a song from a brand new artist named Teodoro, who is the husband of Caroline, who is a PhD and manager of research and education at Nushula Bits. I met her it's so funny. I met her. I was talking to her at Ada, and she said, oh, yeah, my husband does music. And I said, well, send some over. So we have brand new artists for you today. And then we're coming back with the Wacky World of Horses. Kristen's joining us today, and all of that still to come on today's show.
When you need to resupply, replace, update, or invest in the stuff that makes your horse life possible, stop by EquestrianCollection.com first. Browse through some 7,000 boot choices from great brands like Ariat, Boggs, Mountain Horse, Ovation, Smoky Mountain, and more. Outfit yourself in the latest and the greatest. And don't forget your horse. EquestrianCollections.com offers some 400 blankets, sheets, and coolers from Buckus, Amigo, and Rambo by Horsewear, Hug, Kensington, Triple Crown Custom, and Weatherbeta, just to name a few. Your horse will be warm and dry and stylish this winter. Not sure what type of saddle pad you want? Well, go to Equestrian Collections because they have over 600 different choices. No matter whether you ride English, Western, or bareback around the backyard, EquestrianCollections.com has the most amazing selection of brand name products you are going to find anywhere. So stop by today, EquestrianCollections.com.
Every guy just stops and stares. Beers and jars are dropping everywhere. As she steps out on the floor and starts moving to the beat, you can feel your body burning from the heat. All their eyes light up like Tokyo. It's a red hot rhythm overload. a time bomb ticking, ready to explode. Everybody says, hey, angel. Everybody says, hey, hey, angel. Everybody says, hey, angel. Dance with me tonight. Then the crowd begins to form in a circle all around, clapping hands and grooving to the sound. And as each one gets a turn, hoping he's got what it takes, she just leaves them lying helpless in her wake. She ain't going home with anyone. Only heaven gets to rope the sun. She's a hot soul spirit and she's free to run. Everybody says, hey, angel. Everybody says, hey, hey, angel. Everybody says, hey, angel. Dance with me tonight. Ooh, cha-da-ba-ba-ba.
Well, that was Teodoro is his name, and he is, as I said, he's related to a woman in the horse world, and I met her at Ada. It was a lot of fun. He has other songs that it will probably be adding into the lineup here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. Coach Jen is in the producer chair, and next we have this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right, it's that time of the week when Horse Nation stops by to talk about all things strange in the horse world. And we have Kristen with us today, filling in for Leslie, who I think is finally on her way home from her massive vacation. Is that right, Kristen?
Yes. Yeah, she's on her way home, and we have actually the first of her many stories from her adventure coming up today, so you have to keep an eye out for those.
Oh, cool. Now, she was over there doing some fox hunting in Ireland, right?
Yes, I think England and Ireland. We'll be running a story later today on how that got started, and it was basically she just was like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool if I could do this. And actually, Lady Martha Sitwell was like, yeah, that would be cool. Come on over. So. That was a pretty big deal for her.
I can't wait to hear all about this. She's supposed to join us on the show on Wednesday morning and give us a rundown on her royal vacation. Now, does she have a cast, or are we not announcing any casts as of this point?
I got an email this morning that said I survived, so she at least has the use of one hand write an email and click send. So,
and with Leslie, you never know exactly.
Going well.
You never know exactly what that means. It could mean that there's a cast in all three of the other appendages. We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah that's true.
Well, I'm so glad you could join us today, and as we do on every Monday morning, we're going to talk about a couple of the articles that you had on Horse Nation, and I wanted to start with how you can win a Virginia horse farm. Tell us about that.
That looks pretty sweet. Now, this is actually not the first time that we've run a story like this.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is becoming more and more popular.
Wasn't there one just not long ago, I thought?
Right. Yeah, we had two last year. There was Rock Spring Farm or Big South Fork Lodge. And then this is Newstead on the James in Virginia. And it looks absolutely beautiful, actually. It's a giant brick manor house, and it has a like a barn and big pastures, and it looks like it's very nicely restored. So the current owner, I guess it's appraised at about $1.5 million. So instead of trying to sell it for that, she decided, you know what, I'm going to give it away in an essay contest. So she's hoping, I guess, to get 7,000 entries. So with 7,000 entries and the $200 entry fee, she's actually going to recoup what she would be able to sell it for, but the winner gets it then for free. So
this is becoming
a
thing.
Good writer, get
this,
out there.
Yeah, this is becoming a thing, isn't it? Do you think they actually get that many entries? I guess they must, or people wouldn't keep doing it.
I guess so. You know, I don't ever see any stories about what happens after these, so I'm going to have to stay in touch with Carol Carper, who's the current owner. So
did you submit
after
one?
After September 21st, I'm going to have to email her and see how it went.
Did you submit one, a story?
I haven't yet, but we just bought a house, so it's not really probably a good time for us to go and try to get
okay, you
one.
Can sell one of them. This one's worth $1.5 million. It's like playing the lottery.
Well, this one is... Virginia is probably a little warmer than where we are.
It is a beautiful house, and this is quintessential Virginia estate. It really is. It's quintessential. The barn being concrete, just the whole thing is quintessential Virginia. Now, does it come with the 1905 Steinway piano?
It does not. Originally, I thought it did, and then Carol emailed me and said, no, I'm taking the piano with me.
Yeah, because that's probably worth about as much as the house.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but I know the flock of sheep are available for purchase for the winter, if anyone's interested in a flock of hair sheep or meat sheep. And I guess you can also purchase the four Morgans that she has on the property. So the current owner, I guess she's a Morgan horse judge and kind of a semi-retired breeder, so... so she still has four Morgans on the property, so you can
I gotta believe that Jennifer is looking at this house wanting to write an essay. I gotta believe she is, because she loves these old houses, these old manor type houses.
That'd be pretty sweet. That could definitely be the new headquarters of Horses.
Except I guarantee you there'd be no internet. There'd be no internet where she is. but it's beautiful. I mean, it is quintessential beautiful. You could see a statesman from the 1800s living in this house.
I guess if you click through to the website, she hosts a lot of weddings and parties and stuff there, so it's definitely like a picture perfect property. So highly recommended, and it's only a 200 word essay, so it's compared to some of the other contests, it's pretty sparse.
That's a short essay, isn't it? You can't say a whole lot in 200 words. You got to be clever, huh?
Yeah, you've got to be like very, very concise. Get right to it, very Hemingway.
I just noticed.
Point and hope it's best.
I just noticed too. She's an American Driving Society judge, so she judges driving as well. Interesting. Well, this is cool. What a cool place. Yeah, I can't write worth anything. So, Jamie, get on it, okay?
That's not going to happen. It's like too much like homework for me.
Yeah. This is what you do for a living, though, Kristen. You could always turn around and sell it.
True. Or I could just ghostwrite one for Glenn, ghostwrite one for Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Myself.
That'd be good. Well, the other one I thought was interesting of your articles is the 15 equestrian problems according to Twitter. And this is where you basically look on Twitter to find out what people are struggling with, right?
Yes. So, yeah, actually, speaking of being concise, you know, with Twitter, you only get 140 characters. And I really think that kind of space limit really makes people much funnier and much more eloquent. So, you know, for example, brushing hay and shavings off the coat I swore I would never wear to the barn. # equestrian problem.
Yeah, so, don't we all do that?
That's pretty classic.
I walked out.
Yeah, like, oh, the nice boots. I'll never wear these to the barn.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just bought some Nikes and I haven't had a nice pair of shoes in forever. And Chad was like, these do not go behind the back door, like out to the back of the property. And I was feeding yesterday and he's like, you're wearing your Nikes. Take them off.
I do that all the time. I have my good shoes and my barn shoes. Yeah. And I swear never to wear those good sneakers in the barn. And then you get out there and go, oh, crap. It's like...
This happened yesterday, actually, to my poor husband. So he was wearing like some light shoes and a kind of a nice coat. And we stopped by the barn just real quick. I just wanted to check and make sure the water wasn't frozen. And the horse water wasn't, but the steer water for the cows was frozen. So, of course, we ended up spending another hour packing water by hand. So then smelled like cows and was all wet and cold, so we had to come back and change clothes. I felt kind of bad, but the steers needed water, so they're fine.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. And it is, and you girls always saying, we're just going to stop by the barn real quick, which means a half an hour.
Yeah, well, at best.
Yeah, that's a good.
This happens in my house. I'll be inside in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We all know better than that.
Five minutes in horse time. Yeah, 5 minutes in horse time doesn't even exist. It's like an hour. Yeah.
Okay. The same thing. Your class is going to start in 5 minutes. Yeah, you know that means many hours.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Horse time.
All right, what's another one?
Here's another one. I thought grooming was going to be fast and easy until I saw the other side of my horse. Equestrian problem.
Yeah, the mud side.
The side they rolled on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the good side and you're like, oh, that looks great. Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a good one. Dover Saddlery should have a wedding registry. #equestrian problem.
That actually came up in our auditor. It actually came up on the auditor Facebook page the other day. Apparently, one of them's getting married, and they wanted a wedding registry, but they wanted it so that it combined Dover Smart Pack and everybody else, so you could just do a wedding registry for all of them at the same time.
And I said, I feel like Equestrian Collections should listen to this and would be the first one to do it.
Yeah, because you're right. They would have the kind of feel of one that would do a wedding registry. You're right. Jennifer, check if Equestrian Collections has a wedding registry. They might already. I don't know. But you know what? Why shouldn't you be allowed to register? Why do you have to register at like Pier 1 Imports? You should be allowed to register at a horse place, but then you'd have to be very concise in your wedding registry because your non-horsey friends would have no idea. So you would have to make sure the color, the size, everything is picked out exactly what you wanted. Otherwise, it would be all
wrong.
That's true. It would just be a nightmare. So yeah,
this one I saw the equestrian problems. Is twofold in my house. The horrible feeling you get when you feel like you forgot to shut the gate.
Yeah.
And that also happens when
did I
turn off the hose?
Yes.
Those two, oh my gosh, nothing will wake me out of a sleep quicker than get my butt marching outside in the cold to check a gate or check the hose.
By the way, last week I forgot to shut off the hose. So we figure it had been running in the field for about 4 hours. Judging by the lake that had developed out there. Now, thank God we're on a well and not city water. That would really suck if you were in city water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
# my world. Equestrian problem.
Are you? You're in rural Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, we're actually in Western New York.
Oh, Western New York.
Pretty
okay.
close to the Pennsylvania border.
Yeah, so you're on a well,
we're
right?
We're just a few minutes from Erie. So, yes. Well, actually, there's like one, the way our farm is set up, there's like one or two pumps that are on my grandparents-in-law's. I don't know if they're on a well or on city water either, actually. They might be on the.
Do you pay a bill for your water?
The farm is on a well. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have to pay any bills because it's all on the farm, but.
You got a sweet deal there, girl.
I do. Yeah, actually, that was another thing I wrote. I wrote a Valentine to my grandfather-in-law who owns the farm and the horse. That's also unfortunate. I was like, hey, I need to write a little thank you.
You got to really. No wonder you don't want to go to Virginia. You have to start paying the electric bill.
I don't want
to
give it up.
Yes.
I
can see now why you don't want to move.
Fix my own fences.
You got a deal
there.
I know,
I'm very spoiled.
Yeah, you are spoiled. And you have draft horses, which are like 10 times the work. So,
yes. Yeah. Those aren't mine either. Those are my father-in-law's. So we just get to come and drive them, and then he has to do all the work. So,
Kristen, you're making a lot of people jealous right now. They're now turning the show off.
Sorry.
And then she writes for Horse Nation, which is like a good gig. So that is a pretty good deal you've got going there. Now tell me,
I am slowly starting to take things over. So I get there's a deal we've worked out that there's going to be this is going to be a mess. There's going to be 4 beef steers kept in my horse barn, quote unquote my horse barn. But then after that, I can build a box stall and a grooming stall in the space where the steers are going to be. The problem is I'm going to have 4 very stinky steers in the horse barn for a couple.
Yeah, there's nothing like cleaning
very exciting,
cow poop. There's nothing like doing that. I've had to do that before.
Yeah.
Before we run out of time, tell us about the staff pole.
So that was something that Lorraine Jackson, one of our staff writers, wanted to do. And she, just in time for Valentine's Day, asked everybody to list their favorite stud. So the post is our favorite stud muffin. And everyone selected their favorite, typically their favorite breeding stallion. And for a lot of the staff, it was stallions that had cropped up in their favorite horses pedigree. So like Lorraine picked Poco Bueno. She had a Poco Bueno descendant. That was her first horse. So she says, given the chance, I'd take another Poco Bueno descendant in a heartbeat. Let's see. Leslie picked Romer, the KWPN Wormblood stallion. Basically, this post is designed, you know, for all the people who grew up with stallion posters on their walls instead of boy bands, which I was there, and I'm sure a lot of people were. And, you know, when you're young, I'm probably still even as an adult, you probably have your favorite stallion that you're like, oh, yeah, that'd be great, you know, to have either offspring or ride that horse or anything like that. And everyone else listed these majestic stallions.
Jennifer, there's the question of the day. Did you have a boy band or a stallion poster on your wall growing up? There's the question of the day.
And who's your stud? And if so, if it's a stud or boy band, and who was your choice?
In either case, who was your
who
stud?
Was your
pick?
I was.
I definitely had like Justin Timberlake on one wall and Stallions on the other wall. So
much younger than me.
What were yours? Justin. What was on your wall? I'd be interested to know there, Jamie.
First of all, I thought Horse Illustrated was the greatest magazine ever when I was tiny because they had a centerfold. I had all the centerfolds. I had horses from Gypsy Vanners to Appaloosas to Shetland ponies to miniatures on my wall. But my horse of choice, my heart horse, like growing up, the stallion that I loved was a horse named Easy Goer who ran in the, Triple Crown races against Easy Goer and Sunday Silence. And Sunday Silence won the Derby by a neck, and he won the Preakness by a nose. And I'm like, Easy Goer's going to get him this time! And Easy Goer blew by him in the Belmont and won and ruined Sunday Silence's chances of a Triple Crown, which he did not deserve because Easy Goer was so much better. Anyway, so it's one of those... Chestnut with a star. I just loved this horse. He was the first racehorse I ever was interested in and followed. And I had posters of him. Actually, in my office right now is a picture of him winning the Belmont. Like, seriously. He died a long time ago, and I still love him.
There you go. Well, Kristen,
Glenn,
thank you.
Who was on your wall?
I don't remember. Probably Star Wars.
They don't call him Glenn the Geek for nothing, people.
Yeah, I'm sure it had something to do with Star Wars or Star Trek. It was
no
one of those two.
On his
no, there were no horses. Didn't have much exposure to horses growing up, so definitely no horses, and wasn't really into boy bands, so
no,
I didn't have.
I know
that
we're
either.
Not asking what boy bands.
You really missed out, Glenn.
I know. Apparently, I did. Band. Apparently, I missed out on the boy band thing.
I think
I'll mail you a One Direction poster.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'll hang that right up.
Glenn is like
put it right in the jagroom.
Yeah.
The green lightsaber has more power than the orange lightsaber.
That's
so.
Right.
Put both those together and you get a red lightsaber. Oh my God, that's definitely the most powerful lightsaber on the market.
I probably would have had, back then we didn't even have video games, so I couldn't even have a video game poster on the wall. So didn't have that.
Who
either.
Would win? The Star Trek Enterprise versus what's that? The Han Solo ship. Go.
Oh, the Enterprise. There's no question.
It's on Glenn's wall. We have the answer.
Kristen, thank you so much for joining us and filling in. We really appreciate it. It's horsenation.com. Check it out. You can see Leslie's first post later in the day about her great adventures with royalty over in England. Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. Take care. Yeah, it was definitely... Yeah, Enterprise beats them all.
What's the other one? The Enterprise and the...
What was Han Solo's ship, Jennifer? We just watched the movie. I can't think of it either. The Falcon, Millennium Falcon. There you go.
So you think the Enterprise beats the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, the Enterprise is cooler. Now, they've only wrecked it about 100 times in the movies. Makes you wonder how they can build so many of those and like they're free to build. But yeah. You know, come to think about it, the Enterprise never fared very well in battles, did it? It always got destroyed.
Didn't they have like a cloaking device, though, and a shield?
Yeah, but it never did very well.
This is so nerdy.
I know.
I've got a tip for you.
Yes.
I wanted to do a tip so Jennifer can actually reuse it on the tip. What Horse Radio Network tip of the day?
Yes.
Is that what it is? But I'm looking for it right now. Sorry. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. I'll talk amongst myself.
Okay. So have you ever seen a horse get cast in a stall?
Yes. We had one of my Percherons did. And this was an 18 and a half hand Percheron.
It's so unbelievably scary when even just a small horse gets cast in the stall. And for those who don't know what that is, it's a horse is said to be cast when they've laid down or they've rolled in their stall and they manage to kind of get stuck up against the wall. So their feet are up against the wall. So they lay down in their stall and then they flip over and then they have no way of...
They just can't get up.
Can't get up.
And so sometimes they flail around. Sometimes they just lay there and wait
for some...
They
break things. Yep. It's very loud.
I'd be interested. Is this how you're supposed to... Is the article how you're supposed to do it? Handle
yeah.
it? Okay, good. Tell me. I want to see if we did it right.
I'd never heard of this technique. You know, like some people will want to try to drape a rope over the horse's top leg on both sides and pull them over. And then you're... You know, what they're saying is you're in the dangerous spot of legs flailing in front of you. Another technique that I've seen people do, and this is the worst, is when you put the halter on the horse and you pull on the halter.
On the neck? On the head?
Yeah, because you can damage.
Okay, that wasn't happening with our one-ton Percheron.
No,
okay.
But
can I just ask a question? When's the last time you were able to move an 800 to 1,000 pound object by pulling on hair?
I haven't revealed the technique, Jennifer.
Okay.
So just
the technique.
Okay.
Until you're done. So I've never tried this technique, and it's not. It's so simple to me that I think you could do something, and it should be a little bit easier. First, they say do not go in there by yourself, or do not be by yourself. So in case you get in trouble, or somebody gets in trouble, or somebody gets hurt, you need to have a second person.
Definitely
there.
Agree with that.
Yeah. So what you don't want is to put a halter on the horse and pull the horse's neck straight. So this article goes on to say that you can position yourself at the middle of the horse's neck, right at the middle of the horse's neck, and grab hefty, giant handfuls of mane. And it seems that it may be hard to do.
What, but am just, I braiding it? What the heck am I doing with the mane?
You're just going to grab handfuls, but enough handfuls so when you pull, you're not pulling out the mane. You're going to actually pull the horse. So you basically, while the horse is lying facing the wall, flat on their side, very close to the wall, whatever, you're going to grab handfuls of mane and you're just going to pull and pull backwards. So you're freeing up the horse's chest and front end away from that stall. Keep the tail aligned with the horse's spine. Don't pull the tail. Don't do anything. If you need to pull his hind end free, basically you can use the tail to kind of pull, but don't just kind of pull back to slide it away from the wall. Don't pull it upwards if you do have to help with the tail. But basically just go to the horse calmly. You know, you approach them, let them know that you're there, talk to them, make them feel comfortable to where they're not going to go, oh my God, somebody's touching me. What is that? You want to have just a nice, calm manner, get your adrenaline down, walk in there, put one hand on either side of the mane, you know, the middle of the neck if you can, and just wrap a bunch of hair up in your hands. Hopefully you have a horse that doesn't have a roached mane. That's your own problem. and slowly just start to pull that back. The horse will then, once it gets a couple inches, and I think leverage-wise, Glenn, you can pull the front end of a horse. Now, Percherons, notwithstanding, it's your own fault for having one of those. but you can pull at least enough of the neck, and then you're not doing any damage to the spine. You're not going to throw a rope around a leg and break a leg or do anything like that. So anyway, that was my tip of the day for
Where'd you find this one?
I found this one. I don't know. My computer kind of messed up. So
I'm not sure. You know who I want to hear from, Jennifer, if you could get her on to talk about this issue, because I think it's an important issue. I'm not kind of buying the whole pull the mane thing, but is Dr. Rebecca. We need to get Rebecca on to, she used to do the show on safety and rescuing horses. We need to get her on to get an official definitive.
She's a horse rescue expert lady.
Yes, yeah. We need to get her on. So from Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue. So we need to get her on to answer this question. You know, we would not have been able to do that with our Percheron because his legs were almost straight up. He just could. He was really stuck with it. A lot of times their legs are almost straight out, which if I can see if you pulled on the neck, you know, if you got their neck moving, they could get their legs and push themselves away from the wall. But his legs were like at a 45 degree angle to the wall. So you would have had to move him a good distance to get him away from the wall. So I think it all depends on how they're hung up, too. And it was scary. I got to tell you, we went next door. There was a plumbing shop next door. We got guys from next door, and we actually had to tie. Now, fortunately, our Percheron, being the nature of draft horses, was not flailing at all. Was just laying there immobile. So we were able to tie lead ropes to his legs, and we pulled all four legs and pulled them over and got the hell out of the stall quickly. That was, we had it all planned out of who was going out in what order, because you're right, it's very dangerous to have a one-ton horse coming over and you're not sure what they're going to do. In our case, we got him over and he laid there and looked at us and said, thanks, appreciate it. And in about 2 minutes, he got up.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything, you know, but it could have been.
Well, that's
a
not
nightmare.
My experience with horses that have been cast. They are not doing anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, you know, draft horses are a little different, but yeah, you're right. It's a very, very dangerous situation.
Well, if they're thrashing, don't approach them at all. You've got to wait for them to kind of get tired, you know, of whatever they're doing. And unfortunately, here we have those mare motels, and Jet got stuck. He was rolling in a stall, I guess, and got stuck halfway out of the bars.
Ooh,
and
so his, that's scary.
That's really scary.
That was unbelievable.
Because then you have to deal with the feet.
You have to. I mean, yeah. They're not pinned up against a wall. They're flailing around they're on stuck. The outside of the fence. It was awful. I wish I would have known this technique. I feel like I could have done him a little better. But he that kind of situation, he was ape crazy, panicked anyway. So anyway, you can do your little search. I'll just
we'll get Rebecca on,
this
too,
was
to Equi talk
search,
to us.
And I just thought it was an interesting article.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it's something we haven't talked about too much here in the show, but it's very scary when it happens.
Yes. So take note. Don't approach a horse that's thrashing. Don't put a halter on the horse to move
don't
him.
Grab
don't
grab your halter, people.
On his
don't.
Leg. Yeah. Don't try to roll the horse over to you. He's going to resist, and then the legs are going to be coming right over in your face.
You know,
and don't
it is stall. It is true that just like in the house, the most serious injuries happen on the ground, you know, dealing with horses. So you do have to be aware of that. Jennifer's most serious injury was on the ground and, it, you know, not falling off a horse. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it happened. So anyway, that's your hot tip of the day that Glenn doesn't agree with. So there
well,
you go.
Well, I'm not sure I don't agree with it. It might work just fine. I wouldn't have worked in our case because I don't think we could have been able to move the horse. But I guess it depends how big your horse is and how he's stuck.
Yeah.
I saw one, too, got stuck in the corner once, and that was tricky because they were stuck like 2 feet on each side of the wall.
You know, Glenn, so. All horses should live in the wild anyway. We shouldn't have
that's
them
right.
in stalls.
That's right.
They should that's all right. be free.
That's right. They should all be free, and we shouldn't be riding them.
Shouldn't be riding them. It's terrible torture.
We're just giving them ammunition here.
Everybody have a great day, spay, neuter, geld.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Tomorrow is the Certified Horsemanship Association. That's what we'll be here tomorrow.
Watch me walk outside and one of my horses is cast. You know how pissed I would be.
Don't say it.